We're going to talk today to an individual, and I got to make sure that we're on still because I don't hear myself in my headphones. And so just to make sure that I'm going to hear our guest today, we need to look at that and see how things are going. But talking today about a book called Moral Meltdown, The Core of Globalism. And is it Hilmer von Kamp?
Yes, Hilmer von Kamp.
Boy, what a name. Got to get used to that. And you, at age 10, were inducted, as required by German law, into the Hitler Youth.
That is correct.
So that puts you, what, about 75 years old? Am I too old?
On Saturday, I became 73.
73. So you've been around a little bit, and you have seen a lot that has gone on through the world over the past 50 years.
That is correct.
And what do you see as you're looking at that? What has changed?
Well, I think the options are diminishing compared to 50 years ago when Germany went down in 45. There was still America as to preserve and freedom. I owe my life and freedom to the American soldiers. But if America goes down, and I don't know whether people are aware that we are going in the wrong direction, that this country is going in the wrong direction. So if America goes down, then there is nobody left to do what America did for us.
What do you see happening with the United States? Recently, people have had questions about this whole deal of in some camps, it's the UN taking over all of the military things and putting the soldiers of the United States military forces under the control of and under the direction of another country, essentially, when they go in as UN soldiers and then are under the command of somebody from who knows what country.
I think there needs to be a clear definition of what is what. The United Nations is a socialist construction for the President of the United States to ask permission of the United Nations to do anything. I think that is absurd, as absurd it is for any other nation. If you only look at the Security Council, I normally keep track on who is in there, but already in the permanent members you have Communist China, Communist Russia, that's all communists still, who are running Russia, and then you have two or three other gangster states. So to ask these kind of people to impose a democracy on any other country, I mean, that's absolutely absurd. So I think there is a petition in Congress to get the U.S. out of the United Nations. I would undersign that immediately if I could.
Now, having seen the things that went on there for years in Germany and knowing one phrase that used to go around for a long time, and that is if you repeat the lie often enough, people will believe that it's the truth. What do you see that's similar to what was going on in Germany back during the war with the propaganda there, and what is happening today in our society?
Yeah, most people think, when they think of a lie, of something you say consciously, you say to your wife, I was in my office, but in reality you were in a bar. That is, let's say, a primitive lie, mm-hmm. And there are plenty of these lies around. But the lie I am talking about, this is the beginning, and it ends that the whole of society, the organization of society, is based on lies. Let me give you an example from Germany, and then I will come to United States of today. The lie number one was that there is no God. And then the lie number two was that there are superior and inferior people, which of course is a lie, totally contrary to any Christian teaching. And the superior people were supposed to be we, the Germans, the aliens, and the inferior people were supposed to be the Jews and the East European races, the Slavs, for instance. Then the next thing was that they made laws which discriminated the Jews, and from there it was only a step to putting them in the concentration camps, and then the next step was the elimination. And at the heart of Nazi ideology was the contempt of life, the contempt of other people's lives, and the arrogance of a bunch of gangsters to decide about life and death of other people. It was, in the end, it was 6 million Jews alone which had been exterminated. Now, answering your question with regards today, I will only answer this one point. There are many others. The Supreme Court of the United States declared the unborn human life to be legally no life. They declared the unborn human being a non-person.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lie, and it can easily be determined, it could be determined by the Congress. It's a medical question to determine where does life begin. Now, out of this, and there was a state, and then out of this comes then the authorization to kill away the unwanted and unappreciated human life in the womb of the mother. Now, that for me is the same thing. My father perished in a Soviet concentration camp, and I say that there is absolutely no difference between the SS guard who pushed the Jew into a gas chamber, between the guards of the camp and my father who put him to their death, and to the abortion doctor who killed the unborn human life in the womb of the mother. And it has to be said, it's not a question of pro-life or pro-choice. The question is, which way America, which direction is America heading? No society can survive which does not value human life. So that's why the abortion issue is not a question between two different opinions, but is a turn, it is a watershed for the way in which America is going.
And even there, the courts are still unsure, because if you are in an accident and you kill a baby that is in the womb, they can find you guilty of murder or manslaughter, whatever they call it. But yet, as you're pointing out, you can go to an abortion clinic and have an abortion, and there's no problem with that. And the courts here in Denver have, what I've read in the paper, have gone both ways. In fact, there was a story that came out that a guy was involved in an accident, and this is fiction. Guy was involved in an accident. In that accident, he hit a car with a pregnant woman in it, and his attorney said to him, if she's on her way to an abortion clinic, you're okay. If she wasn't, then you could be charged for killing the child that was in her womb. And so we're still mixed up on that in our country, in the legal areas. And yet, when we read the Bible, there is no question.
No, there is absolutely no question. And all this confusion only shows how that the whole thing is not really, it's not thought through. It's, I don't know what these guys in the Supreme Court what was in their minds, but it was not coming from God,
mm-hmm.
and it is completely against the law of God, and it is simply wrong.
And then as your book is entitled, Moral Meltdown, we're also seeing that is starting to bring forth the question for the elderly as to deciding which person, not just elderly, but disabled as well, which persons are we supposed to allow to live, and which persons are no longer useful to society, and therefore we can have somebody similar to a Dr. Kevorkian come in and make that decision, where if the pain is too much, well then let's just decide that you don't need to live any longer.
Well, it's a very interesting point, and the interesting thing is that here in America, the first is the abortion, then is the euthanasia. In Europe, under the Nazis, it was the other way around. They started with euthanasia, and an interesting, they were in the Nuremberg trials, the doctors who did that, they were accused of murder, and they were talking about 700,000 people being killed by in the process of euthanasia. Now, I recently learned that this figure of 700,000 is being disputed. It could be half of it. In any case, in Holland, the Dutch doctors got an order from the German Nazi government to liquidate the old people and those which were not considered to be worthwhile living. The Dutch doctors, as a body, refused to do that, and they did not do it. Now, in Holland, it's the only country in Europe where euthanasia is legal, and I don't have the figures at hand, but there is quite considerable. And also, then they made a study, and it turned out that they not only kill those people who have asked to be helped to suicide themselves, but they also kill people who have not asked and who don't even know that they're being put to death. So that is a development which is as detestable as the abortion issue.
Now, when we look at some of our recent developments here, just to go to another country for a while, the recent situation with Hong Kong, China, that whole situation there, how is that going to impact not only the United States, but the rest of Asia?
Well, it shows that at the end, pure power will reign and not law. I mean, it's already now, China doesn't have totally different standards as we have in the West. China is a totalitarian country. And I think it is a disgrace for the British government to deliver those 6.5 million people in Hong Kong to a totalitarian regime. And you can already see that before even the Chinese took over, they already violated the treaty they had done with Britain. Nevertheless, all the Western potentate political big shot, they came to this disgraceful ceremony when they gave Hong Kong over to the Chinese. So in the long run, China will be more powerful economically as the United States, and it is human nature to adjust to the strongest. And so that will be... That is a development which has to be changed, but not with economic aid.
Well, usually it's the economy that dictates which countries you want to succeed and which you don't. Human life doesn't seem to enter in many, many situations. And we've seen that time and again. We're going to take our first break and be back in just a couple of minutes here on the air.
Moral Meltdown is the name of the book, The Core of Globalism. Talking today to Hilmer von Conflict, and he'll be back with us in just a few minutes here on the air. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call today at 428-0910, 428-0910, or 1-800-748-1775, 1-800-748-1775. We're back here in just a couple of minutes on the air.
What are you doing on your vacation?
I'm spending 2 weeks with my dad in California.
Sounds great.
Yeah, but then I have to spend Thanksgiving with my mom.
So?
After that, I go back to California again for Christmas with my dad.
Then, let me guess, Easter with your mom.
Yep, then spring break with my dad.
Gee, I wish I got to travel as much as you. My folks are still married.
Yeah, I'm really lucky, huh?
Even so-called friendly divorces can result in kids feeling like ping pong balls bounced back and forth between parents. No-fault divorce really does hurt kids by disrupting the stability kids want and need. Want to do something about it? Call 303-292-1800 or email us at rmfc@aol.com for information on finding fault with no-fault divorce. It's time we stop playing games with our kids. A message from the Rocky Mountain Family Council.
are you?
We're back here with Hilmer, and Hilmer, you're down in Colorado Springs.
Yes.
And we're up here in Westminster, which is on the northwest side of Denver.
Yeah.
So, and I'll be coming down your direction to continue on through on Thursday night. I'm involved in a prison ministry, and Thursday night we'll be going down through Colorado Springs on down to Canyon City. We're just outside Canyon City in Fremont out there for a prison service.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure the prisons that I visit are nothing like the ones that were around during World War II.
No, I would imagine, yeah.
But we still see the men and women in there that need to take Christ as Savior and get their life turned around.
Yes,
and
I was on the radio in Ohio, and I visited. I was there. I spoke to the congregation of the pastor who interviewed me, and he is also involved in prison work. Very, very interesting.
Now, not just recently we had all this going on with China, and we were talking a bit about it just before the break. There's talk about, you know, economic sanctions and then lifting economic sanctions. And as I said before the break, it seems quite frequently that business is what runs anymore. Humans don't enter in to whatever is happening. And in China, people really have questions about what is going on over there, because on the one hand, we talk about people's rights and whatever, and then yet when we look at some countries around the world, China one of them, and just recently down as President Clinton toured Africa, down through South Africa, and what's going on there, what makes communism or a socialist government look so good to people in countries when we have examples of what has happened where a communist rule has been, and things economically don't seem to work. People seem to be very suppressed. Why is it such an attractive form of government?
I think there is. It's because we are being lied to, and I think we are being lied to for power reasons. I think there is a determined bit in the world of today to establish a socialist, communist society, and I repeat what we started out with the United Nations at the top, and so we are, and a lot of these politicians, if I think of the German politicians, the president of Germany was in South Africa a few weeks ago, and before him was the chancellor, and then they talk in glowing terms about the wonder which Mandela has produced by creating a color-free society. That is, of course, everything of that is not true. South Africa is going down the drain very rapidly. There's a crime rate which is absolutely incredible. The whites are the ones who have produced a nation or a state with that level of economy as they have are leaving the country at the doors, and how long this is going on can go on, I do not know. So, but still, what we read in the press is always the report about the first free election, about the multicultural and multi-colored nation. I think none of this is true, and I think the only reason why we are being fooled is that you have people who manage the news who want to deceive us. I have no other word for that.
Why do we, and I don't know, maybe it's just a particular Western deal that we have here in the United States, but why do we remain so blind to things that are going on when we have evidence? I mean, there's been talk about, you know, the whole situation with the Holocaust is not true. I mean, we've seen people try to wipe that out of history books here in the United States. Those who like to read novels, anybody that has read Brock and Bodie Taney's books their two series on Germany and Israel, and Roger Elwood wrote a series historically based on historical facts on what went on during the Second World War, and T. Davis Bunn, I think it is written the same thing. These people are historical fiction writers, drawing from facts of history and embellishing a bit, but those books for a while were some of the best-selling books around, and writing about what happened during the Second World War and all that went on there, and yet we find out people totally ignore that. Why do we do that?
Now let me ask you, these people did not say, they proved that there was a Holocaust, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it was. There's absolutely no question about it. I think that may have, politically, that may have to do something with there is certainly a quest to eliminate Israel. I was just 2 weeks ago, I was a week in Israel, and I interviewed a lot of people. I wanted to know what is up and down. And I don't think that the determination of the majority of the Arab countries, including the Palestinians, the Arafat, they have not given up on the idea of, as they say, pushing Israel back into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And most Western governments, you have them all coming through Israel, trying to tell the Israeli what to do. And it's quite obvious that their motivation is not peace, but they want to be sure that they get the oil from the Arabs. That's what it boils down to. And then you can say that there are always people who, for one or the other ideological reason, want to justify, I don't know, themselves or whom, and say that the Holocaust really did not take place. That must be, I would guess, it comes from anti-Semitic people. But it's a whole wave of anti-Jewish, I would say.
When we see what went on, and then we hear people want to change the history books one way or the other, it seems like what they're trying to do, as you look at it, they're trying to cover things up so that we can now do the same thing all over again. And if we can prove, or if we can somehow disguise what happened in the past so it can happen again, maybe not against the Jews this time, maybe against some other segment of the population, then if we don't realize it happened once, then we can do it again.
Well, human nature in such a way, and that is the same with the communists or the Nazis, you need to have somebody to blame for what is wrong. And so the Jews at that time for the Nazis, they were the culprits, and they were blamed for everything which was wrong with Germany. And you have the same thing with other focus. You have that in society today. But this is normally for political reasons. With other words, if you look, the crude material of human society all over the world is human nature. And human nature tends to justify self and blame somebody else. And you find this whether you are in a totalitarian system or whether you are in a democratic society. The principle is the same. Politics consists to blame somebody else to get power for yourself. And Christians are no different. And that's where I come in, so to speak, and say there are only two kind of people in the world. The one group is the ones who blame others for what is wrong, and their answer is always related to what they do to the others in one way or the other. And the other group of people is the ones who follow Jesus Christ, who made us, who taught us and showed us that we have to be responsible for ourselves. And if something is wrong, if something is wrong in society, we first look at ourselves and we make ourselves responsible for what is wrong and cure it. And America, the way I see it and understood it, was created on the basis that people are responsible for themselves, they are responsible for the nation, and freedom is a result of responsible people. It's not just something which falls into your lap, that comes to people who do not blame others for what is wrong, but who are responsible for themselves and for what is wrong in the nation.
Well, it's interesting that even in our country, we were able to, in some way, rationalize after the Second World War that those who were the doctors and the rocket experts, that we could bring them into the United States and accept them despite what they had done in Germany.
Yeah, what rules is power. I do know that, for instance, Werner von Braun, he came here with his whole team, and he should have been put for court in the court, because French and Eastern European slave laborers who worked underground in the last phase of the war on his project, they were systematically killed. And whilst I say my father, he paid with his life. He was not a Nazi. We were against the Nazis. But he paid with his life for the wrongs Germany committed. And then these guys, like von Braun, because they have this technological knowledge, they come here and then they become respectable citizens. That is completely wrong.
And we saw it happen with more than one individual. A number of individuals came over. And
I think there was, after the war, there was between the Soviets and the Americans, there was a race for the German scientists, and the Russians, the Soviets got some, but of course the majority came to the West and came to America. And they made sure that when the Soviet troops got closer, that they went to the West, so that they were picked up by Americans.
Did that have much impact in the formation of what's going on in our country right now, or they just took advantage of the situation, those doctors and scientists took advantages of the situation to come and work in another country, or have they had a part in forming what's going on in today's society?
No, you can. No, this is an expression of the same principle. The principle is, it's not, there are no moral absolutes. In other words, in government policy, as in society, there is no absolute morality. There are the God's moral absolutes, God's commandments are not in place. So, after World War II, what we are just discussing with regards to the scientists was an expression that what matters is what good materially can they give us. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, since they had the know-how, they were all what the criminal aspects of their life were ignored, and they were just put to work. Now, that is the same principle as you have today. The American and all European governments with regards to Red China, which is a totalitarian society, that has the question of human rights is a deviation of God's moral absolutes, and you have to judge a society by its relation to God and by the appliance of absolute moral standards in their legal and social system. And China is a totalitarian country, but they get the most favored nation clause, and people want to have a piece of the business pie. So therefore, morality is being pushed aside. You listen, each time any politician of the West gets to China, they, in front of the camera, which is for home consumption, they speak about human rights, and once that phase is over, then they get down to what they really want, and that is business.
We're going to take our halftime break on that note and be back in just a couple